People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
Trying to break.
All right, we are back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 3, Episode 30, Episode 98 overall, so just two more away from 100, almost at that milestone. But today, joining me, a broadcast analyst for the Minnesota Lynx, a sideline reporter for the Minnesota Timberwolves, public speaker, and a member of the Women's Corporate Directors Foundation, Leah B. Olson. Leah, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join me today.
Yeah, I'm so glad we finally were able to make this work. Thanks for tracking me down. Looking forward to chatting.
Yeah, first things first, too, I wanted to know how you felt about last night's draft. I mean, the Lynx picking Alyssa Peely. I mean, I'm not too up to date with the WNBA, but now, yeah. Again, with the job openings, that how we connected, I really want to, I guess, seek more interest in it. So for you, being in that line of work, what was the draft last night for you?
I thought it was pretty exciting. You know, one of the things that the Lynx have been needing, actually, for a little while is just kind of a big that's kind of can shoot the three. That's physical. We've kind of in the last few, since we lost Sylvia Fowles, you know, one of the greatest bigs ever. We just haven't had that presence down low anymore. And we have, you know, we have some really solid post players, but not that presence. And I think that Peely brings that. And she's physical. She's big. She's got size. She can shoot the three. And so, you know, but the bottom line is that getting into the WNBA, it's still the hardest league to break into. And so she's going to have to make it through a really tough training camp. And so hopefully we see her sitting on that roster when all things are said and done.
Yeah, most definitely. Like I said, the reason how we connected was, again, the job open with the Minnesota Lynx. Very interested in seeing how that turns out. But I wanted to familiarize myself with as many people on your staff, you know, from the analysts, the Lynx, the Timberwolves and everything like that. So I'm glad that we were able to connect. But to start for you and, you know, getting into the industry, you know, I know you play basketball at University of Minnesota, you know, yep. Division I basketball. So
I had a different route than most people. I only played high school ball for a couple of years. I was 6'1" at the age of 12. So I was always tall, but I happened to go to a school that didn't have basketball. And so I was late to the game. And because of that, I needed to take the route. In high school, my coach was a great coach and a great mentor. He kind of directed me towards community college for 2 seasons so I could just get up to speed on the skills. He was like, you got the raw talent, but now you need to learn the game. And so I did that. And then after I played 2 years there and became one of the better community college players in the country. Then the University of Minnesota was like, come on over and try out for the team. And then I made that team. And just a real game changer for me and my career. And it was at that point that I knew I wanted to stay in sports for my career and knew I wanted to do that through sports broadcasting. So that's kind of how I got to the university. And then as soon as I finished playing for the Gophers, I went over to intern with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they didn't have any broadcasting positions open. So I just like worked in their summer basketball camps, and I worked in their marketing department, and I kind of did whatever jobs needed. And kind of a few turns, and 5 years later, I got moved into the broadcast department and was kind of on my way.
Yeah, did Minnesota give you a lot of opportunities as far as broadcasting and like being able to tackle basketball like at the same time?
Yeah, you know, the broadcasting department at the University of Minnesota was just so different then than it is now, where now it would be really specific to like broadcast journalism, where you would really kind of get those skills for being a sideline reporter, analyst, those types of things. Back then, it was more that general field of like my major was journalism, mass communications. So kind of learning that kind of bigger overarching piece of it. But it was really helpful. And without being at the Gophers, I probably wouldn't have had those connections to the Timberwolves. And it kind of put me on a higher stage for people to see me. And so, yeah, super grateful to the university for that. But yeah, the background and the degree of journalism, mass communications was very helpful.
Yeah, and you do a lot of public speaking now, and you've done it for a number of years. I wanted to know, if at like a young age, like you knew you had like some sort of passion for like guiding and inspiring others through speaking?
It's interesting because I didn't know how it was going to come through. I knew that I wanted, for sure, a piece of my career needed to be like speaking or helping, serving young people, but I didn't exactly know what that looked like. And how it ended up coming out originally was when I have two kids, and when they were coming through youth sports, I really saw some things in youth sports that I didn't like. And I thought the environment was negative for young athletes. I saw a lot of coaches berating kids, parents being disrespectful to officials, to athletes, to the game. And so I took a year to create a platform that I call Rethink the Win. And Rethink the Win is just around like sports are bigger than the win. And so we have to see that for our athletes, that there's more to it than just, you know, if we win that game that night. And so that's kind of how I started my speaking platform. And I started speaking to coaches and athletes and teams, and really kind of got some backing around that. And people really appreciated that. And then in the last 4 or 5 years, I've taken Rethink the Win to corporate America and kind of asking them to kind of rethink their wins and how they, and you know, how you treat your employees, how you can learn from sports, and how you can kind of win in an ethical way. And so that's how it ended up coming through for me. So I can't say that I always knew what it would look like, but it kind of just shaped itself as I moved through life.
Yeah. And again, realizing that broadcasting was probably going to be in your future after playing basketball. And then again, tackling all this at once, how much has public speaking helped you as a reporter and as an analyst?
Yeah, it's just a different way of capturing your audience. One thing I love about public speaking is you have to engage the audience, and you have to, one of the things, like, you'll lose an audience real quickly if you don't, if they don't feel like it's about them. So even though oftentimes I might be bringing my story to them, I need to make sure they can understand how it relates to them. So I'm sharing my story with them to empower them. And that's really important. And in the same way in a broadcast of how, you know, we're sharing the stories of the athletes on the court, it's really not about us. It's that we are the in-between of getting this information from the athletes to the fans. And so, even though in my public speaking, I share a lot about my background. I share a lot about what I've learned from working with professional athletes, college athletes, and high school athletes. But my goal is for them to be able to take something away for themselves that they can really take from sports. And I think for me, that's been the biggest thing. Sports has just been super huge for me in my life. And it's provided me, like, not only with a career that I love and a lot of great people to be around, that has kind of really made my life a beautiful thing because there's so many amazing people, but it's also about wanting to empower other people through it.
Most definitely. And graduating in 1990 from the University of Minnesota, you said you interned with them doing as many things as you can, not so much on the broadcasting side because there wasn't any opens, but, you know, recognizing and familiarizing yourself with the program, with Minnesota as a whole. Is that kind of what kickstarted your first job opportunity with them?
Yeah, it really was. You know, because I didn't know, like, I didn't have mentors then. That's another reason why I believe in mentoring people, is because the route I took, which was necessary for me, was just kind of very curvy because I didn't know how to get to directly to sports broadcasting. There was less women in the field at that time. There was less mentors available. And so I was kind of piecing it together. And what I had decided was, if I could work for a sports franchise, then eventually on the weekends and evenings, I could be kind of doing my broadcast hustle, and eventually those two would connect up. And that is what happened. It just took a while for me to kind of get down that path. And so in turn now, like, I think it's so much easier for young people like yourselves to, like, have a platform, to use social media, to have a podcast where you can really kind of set your stage right away. And then as you work to get in with an organization, they can already see, like, you're already doing the work that they're going to be asking you to do. So it's really beneficial. But I still I still like really strongly believe in the work of kind of helping and mentoring young people to get to that space.
Yeah, for like you said, someone like me, like someone that's young and, you know, graduating or even in school too, studying this field, it's like it's so easy nowadays, but yet it's so hard to make like connections and like connect with people like yourself and have a platform. Once I started doing this and seeing more people reach out and more people interested in hopping on, it's like, you know, why would you stop it, right? So trying to take it in stride. Yeah, 100%. For your so your first title was corporate accountant supervisor.
Yeah.
Was there any like idea of like where that was going to take you? Again, the broadcasting thing is in the back of your head, but it's like, you know, where do you go from that point?
Well, I will say this, if I would have never made it to broadcasting in the way that I wanted to through a professional team, I would have enjoyed my job as a corporate account supervisor because it's a, you know, what it was like all the big corporate sponsors for the Timberwolves and Lynx. I was in charge of making sure that they had everything they were contracted for. So it, you know, so you met really interesting people, you helped them connect in with their with what they had, like if they had autograph sessions with players, on court events to do, marketing things, you made sure all of those things happened. And so it was interesting. It connected sports. There was a community service element involved in most of the contracts. So it was all really super interesting work. So I love the job. It's just that I was still trying to get to another job. But yeah, I for sure would have, I think, you know, love the job that you're in and do the best that you can do at that. And then, you know, hopefully it leads to exactly what you want. And, but it really was, the corporate account supervisor position really was pretty fun.
Yeah. Like, just talk about some of like the, I guess, memorable moments from that. You talked about the responsibilities. Think back to a time where, I guess, like one of your first like starstruck moments where like you're in the, like you're working in this industry and trying to get your foot in the door in, as best as you can.
Well, I'll say this, when the Wolves started letting me do interviews, my very first interview was with Kevin Garnett. And it was his first season with the Timberwolves, you know? So like that was a huge deal and I was super nervous and KG knew that I was waiting outside of the locker room for him. And so he sat in there for like an hour and he was taking his time because he knew I was getting how nervous I was. And so I had to pay the price. And, but like, to me, when I think back, I'm like, your first interview was, you know, with the Hall of Famer, you know, obviously the best Timberwolf player to ever come through as of yet. And so that was pretty cool. And something that was super memorable to me. But I think some of it is like when you're putting on a game every night, you know, 42 home games a year, game operations, some of the stuff that we were doing on the court back in the day, like one of the things that was kind of hot and cool to do is like you would have someone come down from the roof of the building. And we had Jesse Ventura, who was our governor at one point, but he also, you know, was a wrestler. And it was during the playoffs against the Houston Rockets. And it was just so funny. Like all of a sudden, you know, he comes down out of the roof of the ceiling and he was kind of there to intimidate the Rockets. And they thought it was hilarious. And there's just a million stories like that of all the different things that you kind of did to put on a great show for the fans.
Yeah. I have a few friends that work like in like PR and things like that. So like they're behind the scenes doing all that, like press conference stuff, like interview things and things like that. And, you know, it's cool to see because they're still in school, like with me, like they're working part time or they're at internships. And I've had a number of internships where it's like I've had like starstruck moments. Even last year, I worked with WPRI 12 in Rhode Island. It's a local news station. I worked with their sports department. Was at a number of Patriot practices in the summer. Multiple Celtics events, like when Kristaps Porzingis signed with them and Jaylen Brown signed his contract extension. So I'm in these, you know, these environments and it really makes that feel real. Like it makes it feel like, okay, this can be like a profession one day. Cause I wasn't getting paid. It was just for like college credit internships. So
exactly.
Those are the leaps you have to take.
I think those moments are, they're good to hold on to because there's a lot of moments that aren't quite so glamorous, you know, and that's one thing that I'll say to people. And I do love the job. And there are, you know, when you get the great interview at the end of a game and everything goes well, it's like, those are the shining moments that everybody gets to see. Some of the stuff not quite so glamorous, you know, is waiting for hours and hours around locker rooms for players to come out. And oftentimes, you know, these guys are tired, they're taxed, they have so many people coming at them, they're not interested, and they don't have time. So the it's hard to get information sometimes, you know. And there's, you know, I think people like the PR people that you just mentioned, broadcasters, people who work day to day with the athletes really see kind of what it is behind the scenes. And it's challenging. It's challenging work for sure. But that's why I do think it is important. Like when you do have those moments of like, this was really great, is to hold on to those, because that's really, you know, that's what you're doing it for.
Yeah, did you have like a starstruck moment outside of meeting Kevin Garnett in that first interaction?
Yeah, I would say probably the Michael Jordan, you know, because this was back in the heyday of Michael Jordan when I was first getting going. And you know, when he would come in to Target Center, you know, it was an immediate sellout. Everybody was there. Target Center was on and popping. You know, we had Prince in the house and Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, and it was just kind of the place to be. But the story I tell on Michael Jordan was, he was coming down the hallway where the players come in at Target Center, and my back was to him. And I don't know why, I wouldn't have realized they were coming into the building. And to get past me, he had to put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Excuse me." And then I turned and looked and saw him. And I'm like, "It's Michael Jordan." And he looked at me and he said, "How are you doing?" And then I just stared at him. I had no response. I had nothing. Then he kind of just looked at me and went, "Oh, okay." And then just kept walking. And everyone was like, "What was that, Leah?" You know, and so that was definitely a starstruck moment. And I'll say probably that's probably the biggest one that I've had in my career. I will say when Kobe was coming through, I never interviewed him individually, but was in quite a few scrums with him where everyone's, you know, getting their answer or asking him questions. And I always remember just kind of watching him, thinking like how he handled the media and how he answered. It was so unique and different from other players, just kind of being like, wow, this dude is different. And so probably those moments.
Yeah, most definitely. And I always think about like how it will pan out for myself. Obviously, it's still like the earlier stages for me, and I'm not even at my first official job yet. But again, talk about those internships. That kind of makes it feel real. And like the person that really kickstarted and helped me was Joe Mazzulla, the current coach of the Celtics. His dad, I tell this story all the time. His dad was my coach in middle school all the way to high school. My junior year, senior year, he ended up getting sick and wasn't able to coach, but I was able to premiere, produce, and edit a documentary on his life last year. Coming up actually next week is the 4-year anniversary from when he died. But
Oh,
like that, from being able to have a platform to speak about Joe's dad, and for Joe to be like so grateful towards that
yeah.
and speak about it, like on like I used to work at the Sports Hub as well, which is a radio station in Boston. He was on it talking with the hosts about how amazing job I did and things like that. So
I love
for
it.
stuff like that, like it really makes you kind of realize that you can like really do it. So
Yeah, I can't wait to see that. I'd love to see that.
yeah, most definitely, I can definitely share with you. But as
Awesome.
far as your career path with Minnesota, we'll go back to that. 5 years you spent as the corporate accountant supervisor, which is your title, and then 2004, KSTC TV was the next landing spot for you. Just talk me through, run me through that experience and how that came about.
Well, one of the things that I have loved to do in my career and I continue to do is high school sports. And it's funny because so many people use it as a stepping stone just to get to either college or the pros. But to me, I do the state high school basketball tournaments for the boys and girls here in the state of Minnesota. And it's one of the purest forms of sports to me. It's like kind of everything that is good about sport. And just seeing like how excited these young athletes are to come into the Target Center and play on the big court for the first time, maybe the first time for them, and to kind of see the level of basketball in the state at the high school level, in particular on the girls' side, has really elevated. You know, we have some great names like Paige Bueckers, and you know, back in the day we had Lindsey Whalen, and so we've had just great players come through, and just kind of seeing watching that up close has been something that's really impacted my career. And so that's been something I've wanted to continue to do that work each and every year, because sometimes when you realize like there's like all the money in professional sports and sometimes like some of the negative things that are around it, I feel like high school sports kind of grounds me back to what it is and why we're actually in it. And so I really enjoy doing that. And so that's where that came through is when I started doing high school sports. And I think I've been doing that for like 20 some years.
Yeah. And in high school sports now, I feel like overall in the entirety of the country has been so like more promoted as far as like the media aspect. For me, like when I was playing, I mean, it wasn't too long ago, but I didn't have like a lot of like media and like people coming to the games and recording and always on the news. And now I feel like it's like better than ever and giving these kids like a really great platform to like showcase their games and stuff like that. So that's you, you're still doing that. So in the midst of all that, in 2009, you're officially named the broadcast analyst for the Lynx, sideline reporter for the Timberwolves. So I guess talk about like your interaction with them during that time. So 2004, you're with KSTC TV, but then you're still in connection with them. So just talk about that time period.
Yeah, so that was really exciting time for me. It was also the so I was just, you know, getting the career rolling and to have access to work locally for the professional team where you grew up is obviously, you know, a dream come true. And then still at that point in my career, I was also doing some Gopher women's basketball. And so it was kind of this nice mix. And then at the same time, I was having kids. So my two kids, Jada and Will, they were born in 99 and 01. And so it was just kind of a busy, crazy, hectic time. And, but, you know, like everybody, you just kind of figure out ways to make it work. And, luckily I have a big family that helped take care of them. And, my husband, you know, was spending a lot of nights alone with the kids because games usually are nights and weekends and all of that. But so there's just, you know, I kind of just ebbed and flowed through different spaces. Like I did Lynx radio for a while when the Lynx first got here. And then I did, for five seasons, I did ESPN, WNBA, where I went around and we covered the best game of the week. And so that was really cool because I got to work with some really great broadcasters like, you know, Michelle Tafoya and Jay Billis and all these like, you know, Doris Burke, all these great Hall of Fame broadcasters were all doing, you know, WNBA then in those early days. And so that was a great learning experience for me. And then I finally went part-time. I had to go part-time because it was the kid. My kids were just getting to that 4 or 5 age and it was just too much running around. So I went part-time and was able to work locally and still kind of do the gigs that I needed to do to stay in the business, but then have some time home with the kids. And so in the last few years, as the kids are like in college now and just graduated from college, both of them, I kind of went back to working full-time again. And, you know, that's the key to like, when you're doing that work that you love, it's like, I was excited to kind of get back into that, and working more. And, so I've had that opportunity and then along with the speaking.
Yeah, what's that hiring process is like as well? And again, back in 2009, when that officially became your title, just talk about, I guess, like the competition going up against it and kind of how long that process took.
Yeah, you know what? It was so different then than it is now. Because like, again, like there was that whole social media piece wasn't there yet, you know, so you were really needing to like find contacts and call people and get in front of people and, you know, create an old fashioned like VHS reel to put your stuff on. Like I remember I had a guy who would like put my stuff on to tapes for me. And then I would go around and try to get those to people. And so, you know, that process very, very different now, than it was then. But kind of the same hustle that you're probably doing now is just trying to connect with people and it's a relationship business for sure. You know, so, you know, you spend time with people and you treat people well, and then When something eventually comes open, people think of you. And so that's really what I have learned throughout the years in the business is that, you know, you create a lot of long lasting relationships with a lot of different good people. And that's kind of what holds you in.
Yeah. Along those same lines about relationships, you talked about how in college you didn't really have a lot of, like, I guess, mentors or people to kind of guide you in that right direction. I guess talk about the people that you've learned from the most working in this industry and that have helped you kind of progress your journey.
Yeah. You know, it's been some of the people, it's been just kind of watching them. Even if, you know, if I wouldn't directly call them mentors, sometimes when you just watch someone who's really good at what they do and you see how they show up and you see the hours that they're putting in and the time that they, you know, so I had, especially when I was doing ESPN, WNBA, I was seeing so many great broadcasters and kind of getting like, oh yeah, that you do have to put in more hours than you think. And you do have to put in more time and the details do matter. And so I was doing a lot of learning that way. You know, I've had a lot of great mentors that were not in broadcasting as well, kind of like just advising me on how to show up, how to handle issues, how to ask for things. I guess I wouldn't say I have one specific person. I think I've been able to rely on quite a few different people who were open to sharing advice and I was open to taking.
Yeah. And at the same time, you said speaking, public speaking was in the midst of everything as well. I guess just kind of talk about some of like the key moments where, or key like events you've been able to speak at that really kind of, I guess, again, intertwined with the job position with Minnesota, like kind of tying everything in. And realizing yeah. like you're able to be that part, that person to like be a leader in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool to be able to be on the other side of it now and have like someone say like your work impacted me or you really helped me with this or thank you for taking time with me today. And so like that is really important to me. And so there's a couple of events. There's a gala I emcee every year, which is a fundraiser. It's called the Empower Gala. So it's just like a fundraiser for young girls and trying to get young girls into like classes and training and helping them feel empowered and have more self-esteem at when they come through so they can kind of make decisions that are good for themselves. And so that's something I look forward to doing every year. For my speaking stuff, I do like a handful of things every year with teams, sporting teams, a couple of high schools that I work with consistently, and some colleges, and love that work because that's usually kind of working directly with the athletes and just kind of sharing stories and hearing their stories and seeing in what ways that I might be able to help them. With the speaking, with the corporate piece that I'm really enjoying is that I never really thought that this message would be something that corporate America would be interested in. But one thing that I've learned through sports is that when you're with a team, I saw this with the Lynx when they won their 4 championships, and I'm watching it this season with the Minnesota Timberwolves. One of the biggest things about building team chemistry is building the relationships and the trust amongst each other. And to watch that play out and to see that, that is something that can be shared with corporate America and how if you don't trust each other, you're not going to win. And so there's just so many different dynamics and interesting things that you see play out in the sports world that are really happening in our everyday lives as well. So I'm just like super excited to share that message.
Yeah. And what's been one of your most memorable moments speaking? It's probably a ton of them, but if you could think of one.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think. I did a corporate event about 4 months ago that, you know, just as a speaker, you're hoping that like it comes off well. But at the end of the event, there was so many different people who came up to me to say like, here's what resonated with me. Here's what I thought. And to me, that's the payoff. Like, that's something that you don't really get from broadcasting as much as, you actually do when you're speaking to a live group that can kind of come up to you right after is you get that direct feedback, and then you kind of learn from the people like what did resonate and what maybe I should emphasize that more. And one of the things I've learned is that people really like it from a speaker is are your personal stories. Because that kind of humanizes you. You're not just like the broadcaster lady who does this and that. You become a human being when they kind of hear some of your real life stories. And and that was something I wasn't sure how comfortable I felt sharing when I first started speaking. And then as I saw it resonating with the audience, I thought, well, that's kind of the way then I can serve the audience. So that's one of the things I think that I've learned from speaking.
Yeah, and how do you tackle doing that, doing the Lynx and the Timberwolves like almost all at the same time? Because sometimes the Lynx and the Timberwolves schedule they converse, so it's at the same time. Like we were talking about trying to connect and make this podcast happen. So how do you tackle all that at once?
You know, it is you kind of what's nice about being with the team for a long time is that it gets easier to cover them because you know the stories. Like each time I sit down to prepare for Timberwolves, I'm not like starting all over again, like sometimes some broadcasters are doing if you're working for a national broadcaster like, you know, ESPN. Then you may be doing a team that you haven't seen all year long. So you kind of have to start from the beginning and do all the research on the players and calling people and all that back stuff. Where with the Timberwolves and the Lynx, I have that information already. I know who these people are. I've been working with most of them for quite a long time, especially on the Lynx side. That preparing for each game becomes easier and easier each game. But there is kind of a special time, like which is right now, is when the Wolves are headed to the playoffs and the Lynx are just kicking off, that it does get a little bit trickier because I kind of you just have to balance it. Like today is a day that I'm going to move over to the Lynx and start because we're just coming off their draft. I'm going to start building those boards and looking for what those storylines are and kind of seeing what the team looks like and what maybe some of the storylines for the year. And then I'll kind of go back and forth here for a little bit as the Wolves make it through the playoffs. Yeah, just like anybody, it's that kind of juggle of prioritizing what you need to do on that day.
Yeah, and your biggest adjustment, in your opinion, from jumping from a sideline reporter to like an analyst, like on a game. So obviously, there's similarities in between the two, but one's more so you speaking than the other. So I guess kind of just talk about those differences and similarities.
I think for sideline reporting, you know, you're really looking for these great stories that you can tell very quickly. And so you create, well, at least I do. Everyone, I think, does it a little bit differently. But before each game, I kind of like, you know, I'll go through all the game notes and talk to the PR staff and I'll look and like, what would the main stories be for this game? And then building those out. Where when I'm doing an analyst position for the Lynx, I'm gonna kind of look big picture. And then you're preparing for both teams. So it's gonna take longer to go through both the rosters and have all the information on all the players. And then kind of starting to think more just about the game, like how is this game gonna be played? What are the style differences? Who has better backcourt? What are the storylines there? And they kind of are both equally challenging, but in different ways. You know, this kind of secret piece, I think, at least to sideline, is that you're trying to give something really quick that has interest to people, that's valuable to them. One of the things I like this year is is we have access to the huddles. And for many years, we didn't have access. We did, and then we didn't, and kind of changes and throughout the years and. Now we do. And I think that's a space where fans can't get that information. So if you can get something that's of value to the broadcast. So that's one of the things I love about that. For the analyst work, it's more like you have 2 hours to talk about the game. And so you have more of an opportunity to kind of bring a bigger piece to the public. And so that's kind of enjoyable in a different way. Kind of different. Both challenging in different ways, I guess.
Yeah, and being able to play ball at the Division One level and then being an analyst, it kind of makes it easier for you to kind of depict like what's going on, being able to like really break down a play after it happens. Like for me, obviously, I only played in high school, but I'm knowledgeable on the game, so it's easier whenever I was a color analyst. It's like I can tell the audience what's going on. So that's like, I feel like that's one of the coolest parts of being an analyst, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's really exciting too. And like the game has changed so much since I've played, and like the actions that are running games are completely different than what we were doing back in the day. So like you just have to be willing to move with the game, you know, like the game continues to change, but it also stays the same, right? So it's like you know what you know, you understand what works, but you know, there's different terms, there's different actions, there's different sets that teams are running. But then again, a lot of the stuff, philosophies, how people set their teams up, how people run things, transition basketball, all that stuff has kind of stays the same. So I think it's that blend of like, you know, like let's use analytics as an example. Like, I don't know how many years now, 10 years ago, you just wouldn't have heard people use analytics that much in a broadcast, where now, like, those terms are being used all the time. People are looking at it through that lens, where that wasn't true back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. And being able to, again, learn from you and learn from all like the analysts and broadcasters I've been able to talk to, it's really cool to see like the different parts of their journey and where it's taken them and the different practices they've been able to like endure too as well. So I guess kind of everything to cap everything off,
Yeah.
one thing you've learned over the years that you would tell your younger self now.
Believe more in yourself. Like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, as long as you're, you know, if you're putting the work in and the time and energy, you're gonna be fine. I think you, because it's such a visual medium and so many people have comments on it, I think you worry so much about everybody's comments and responses to you. And I think now I don't do that anymore, you know, and so I think that's something that comes with getting older and just being more confident in those spaces. And so, but also, like, I would also say, like, remembering, I think sometimes broadcasters forget it's not about you. It really is about the game and about the athletes and the coaches and you know, we're the in-betweens to get whatever great things they have to the fans. And so that's one of the things I try to remember, is that that's really what my job is. And so those would probably be the two biggest things.
Yeah, and Leah, I appreciate it again for you hopping on. I'm really excited to see once playoff comes. I've been watching all the broadcasters that have come on. I've been watching all of their games, so like
Yeah.
I've been a fan of everybody. You see the Brunson jersey in the back. I'm a huge diehard Knicks fan, not from New
Oh,
York,
I bet.
but it's
Yeah,
tough
Tom
to,
Thibodeau used to be our coach, so
yeah,
we know, yeah.
yep. But
Yep.
yeah, I'm following everybody nowadays. So like I said, Leah,
Love it.
thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And best of luck to you. And I love that you're on the grind already, and keep doing it and keep working at it. And when I'm all retired up, I'll be watching you. So.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll be there one day. I know I keep telling everybody, like, they'll see me on the screen one day. But
They will.
yeah, episode 98, guys, two more away from 100. Cam's One Corner on all social media. So continue to follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you guys in the next episode of Cam's Corner.
On a break.